Okay, we're gonna do the Meraglim, the spies in Shalach. Okay, now we're gonna do it, but through the personalities, through showing how the different personalities react to the situation. The first personality, we come to Moshe, who sent the nation into the land of Canaan or the land of Canaan to spy out the land. Now that seems to be a big mistake. I mean, just rely on God. Why do you have to send the spies in? Okay, but however, in Devarim, it says there that Moshe, when he's talking to the nation, he says, "You forced me to send in the spies." So the thing is that, so why did he give in to them? The question is, why did he give in to their, okay, they wanted it, but you don't have to give in. The answer is that sometimes, in other words, there's an immediate problem that could do a terrible amount of damage. There's also a future problem, but there's a possibility that you can straighten it out in the future, so you have time. The immediate problem here was that Klal Yisrael was going to rebel. They were going to turn away. They were going to rebel against Moshe. So the thing is, so to avoid the rebellion, the immediate rebellion, which would have been a terrible problem, catastrophe, in fact. So he tried to avoid it by sending in the spies and then dealing with the problem later. Okay? So the thing is that that's a rational decision for the situation. Sometimes you have to push something off and then try to work with it later. Next is the spies, okay? There are three groups in the spies. There is the 10 spies, there's Kalev, and there's Yehoshua. Okay? The 10 spies were under terrible pressure. First, they were leaders of the nation, and the nation was pushing them not to go in. And two is they were on a mission that was life-threatening. At any moment, they could be caught by the enemy. They're under terrible pressure, and because of that, they cracked. They broke. So that was the 10 spies. Now, Kalev, Rashi quotes the Chazal that Kalev went to the Avos, went to the cave, the grave of the Avos, and the pasuk says that the giants were there. There were powerful armies there, and yet he took a chance of going there, put his life in danger. So the reason why he put his life in danger was because he was in the same conflict as the spies, as the other 10 spies, but he recognized it. He had enough sense to recognize that he could break. And therefore, he realized rationally that he should not give in. But however, the rationale was not strong enough, so he had to go to the grave of his forefathers to help identify, in other words, to get his emotions to help him deal with the situation, because he couldn't do it totally rationally. So there is a Rashi that says that Moshe, at that time, Moshe changed Yehoshua's name. His name was Hoshea without the Yud, and then he changed it to Yehoshua with the Yud, which means, well, God will help, and he thought that would help him to stand up to the spies. Now, the question is, if it did help, first of all, how does it help? Well, how did it work? And two, why didn't he do that for Kalev? And now, the thing is, I can't tell you exactly how it worked, but I could tell you what the mechanism, what he did. Okay? The mechanism is that there are people that reach, in other words, the ultimate tzaddik, the ultimate righteous person, makes only rational decisions, and his emotions are in line with his ideas. Okay, what this did, it helped to change Yeshua's nature, that somehow it completed his transition towards that area, and he was totally in line with his ideas, including his conscience. In other words, when you first come into life, your conscience is attached to how your parents raised you. It's how your parents raised you. So when you start out in life, so your conscience becomes in line in the way your parents raise you. So your conscience goes to the parents, to infantile. However, if your emotions are totally in line with your ideas, so then the conscience comes in line with the ideas. So you feel guilty when you don't do something correctly, or if you have a desire to do something incorrectly, the conscience could protect you. So therefore, that was how, somehow, that's how Moshe helped him with the name. But he could not do it for Kalev, because Kalev was still on the lower level of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is a person that does the correct act. But you could be a person not in conflict, where your emotions are totally in line with your ideas. Or you could be in conflict where you follow the mind, and in other words, you do correct acts, but the emotions still go the other way. And his conscience was in line with his emotions, and it couldn't be changed. Somehow it couldn't be able to affect the change. So therefore, that's why he turned to his forefathers, because he needed to get down to his conscience to get him to... and his identification with the forefathers to help him overcome this situation. So we see three levels of tzaddikim. We find when there's certain situations that a tzaddik will break. There's certain tzaddikim that it's just a matter of the situation that will cause them to break. Then there's a tzaddik in conflict, but he's able to, when the situation comes about, he's able to use his lower emotions to help him pull through. He works out the situation to get his lower emotions to be in line, his emotions to be in line with the idea, but he's working with his base emotions. And then there's a person that his emotions are totally in line with his ideas. That's Yeshua. The next thing is they come to Moshe. They come back to Moshe, and if you follow carefully the story, Kalev starts the discussion. He's not answering anybody in particular, but he starts, and as if to whatever reason, he starts the discussion, and based on that discussion, the others attack him. Okay. Now, Yeshua didn't get started. Moshe didn't start it. Question is, why did Kalev start it? So Rabbi Fox pointed out that Kalev was a man in conflict, and he still had the conflict. So the way to overcome the conflict is to argue against, in other words, the emotional approach is to argue the other person down so that it helps you keep to your conscious view, to the world of ideas. So he had to do it, and that's what caused the problem. And so therefore you see that the unconscious, even a tzaddik, can fail. So that's what happened. He was dealing with his emotions, and therefore he started talking, which started the whole conflict. The next group is the nation. Now the nation... They They came out against God and they said, no, we're not going to go in. We sure we're going to die. And it starts a whole rebellion. Okay? God punishes them. And he says, you cannot fight because God's personal supervision, his Hashgacha Pratis, is not with them. And they should not go to war now. There was a nation that was there, says, leave the area. And Moshe told them, and they said, no, we're going to go and fight. We're not afraid, and we're going to do the right thing. And Moshe said not to, but they didn't listen, and they went. The question is, how are they operating? You'll notice that the rebellion against God started at night. And the fear was started at night. That extreme courage, which was in the wrong situation, was by day. At night, fear is brought out more than any other time. They work by fear. In other words, this is not a thinker. All the other people that we discussed until now is the how different thinkers deal in a difficult situation. But here, it's talking about people that are not thinkers. So they're totally guided by their emotions. In other words, when there is a physical situation, when there's a situation, the chacham, or the tzaddik, will evaluate the situation and based on the situation, make a decision. Person that's not guided by chachma, the situation affects his emotions. So therefore, when the situation affected their emotions the first time, it was fear. So they reacted based on their fear. The next day, the fear was gone. Then to deny that their fear and to deny that they're cowards and they feel that they can't do it, then they make the next decision. But they do not think of reality. They do not think of God. Another point about the public that is not guided by Chachma is that they don't look at the overall picture. They only look at the immediate situation that affects them. If they looked at the overall picture, they would remember the 10 plagues, crossing of the Red Sea, the receiving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, hearing God's voice. You understand, all these things would have affected them. But because they react based on the emotions, they close off the overall picture and they only react to the particular situation. They just react to it. Okay, they don't act based on the facts, but they react to the facts. Let me try to clarify a little bit. And that is that the night there was fear that closed off their thinking and they reacted to fear. The next day, when the fear passed, so then God became a conscience to them, an authority figure. So the authority figure, and they based on God, the authority figure, not God of reality. In other words, we relate to God of reality, and therefore we try to relate to the reality. God is the source of all reality. Anything God says is real. So then we relate to God, the source of reality, but the emotions relate to God, the authority. And so they reacted to God, the authority, and they say, yeah, I'm going to follow God. God is my authority, and I'm going to go to war.